going to Fields for the electricity of what he can do with his legs and the boom bust potential of Fields. But the let me put it this way. I don't need Fields to show me rapid growth. I want him. He's got to be better than he was last year in Chicago for him to have a long-term future with the Steelers, both in wins and losses and just the way he plays. But I don't need it to be an overnight success story. If he's just solid as a rock and he's doing the things that he does well and he's eliminating some of the errors and gaffes that made him a player that was in Chicago, one that drove people nuts, well, that's fine through the first couple of weeks of the season, Chris. I don't feel a rush to abandon that or go away from that. I do have curiosity in Russell Wilson, but I don't have enough curiosity where I would want to take a winning quarterback who's playing decently out of the lineup for it.
Decently, though.
Yeah.
Again,
I'm not going to overstate it or put some kind of...
And if he's also not real, if he looks like the same guy he was in Chicago, like, when are we allowed to ask for progress from Justin Fields?
Well, hold on a second, though. People have said that he looked like the guy that he was in Chicago last week against Atlanta. I think that's true to a point, but I don't think it's true all the way, because he didn't have, like, some debilitating interception. He didn't have a bunch of, like...
Okay, but that's saying he avoided the
brain
negative,
fart
which is,
plays.
That's saying he avoided the negative stuff, which is a big difference from he augmented and had way more positive
stuff. I agree, but the problem here is that the rubric that Tomlin is using to assess his quarterbacks is clearly different on the outside than it is on the inside for the most part. The ability to eliminate negatives and not commit mistakes was what attracted Tomlin to Kenny Pickett in the first place. And I think that's also what attracted him to Russell Wilson in the first place. The interception
rate
being
so
low.
He wants to win this way.
You disagree with me on
that? No, I don't, which then brings me back to square one. We're back on the Monopoly board. The game has just started. The guy has, he said we need to score more points in the offseason, essentially said winning isn't enough last year after a Cleveland game or whatever it was, but he's really learned nothing. Because as long as his $100+ million defense is healthy, he's going to lean heavily on them, even though we have plenty of objective evidence that that doesn't really matter when the games get really tough.
Okay, but just as a retort here, are you saying then if Chris Mueller was the king of the Steelers nation and you were in charge and not Mike
Tomlin?
Now,
do I report to Steelers Pope in this situation or am I above him?
Would you then just say, Justin Fields, go out there and let it all hang out against Denver? That's not really a winning strategy.
I guess it's a very frustrating situation, because I think they have a quarterback in Fields who can't be trusted to let it all hang out like that outside of or absent a like phenomenal game plan and offensive schemer where you could maybe mask his deficiencies and augment his positives. You are trying to win football games, but at what point does the roller coaster end here, or the merry-go-round end, and we finally start trying, as this team as a franchise starts trying to win the way the best teams in the league win, which is generally with high-end quarterback play and everything else playing complementary roles to that?
Maybe Field surprises us and eventually gets to that point.
What does it even look like with him, though, if it's high level? There are certain things that it is widely acknowledged he'll probably never do at a high level that pretty much every quarterback in the league does do at a high level.
All right, so he'll do the thing. So he'll do the opposite of what Jackson does with passing, where with Jackson, he's an amazing runner, and then most of his good throws are to the middle of the field and not so many to the outside, and I think Fields would just flip that. Many throws to the outside that are really good and not as many over the middle of the field. Some of that is, I think he's a slow processor, and that's, you know, a dangerous place to throw the ball sometimes. And Tomlin also just has, I think, an edict or a mandate where, like, hey, more bad things can happen than good when we put the ball on the field in that area of the field. So,
man, you can't be a great offense unless you can utilize the entire field.
I don't think the plan is ever for them to. I don't think the plan has ever been for them this year to be a great offense, Chris.
When will it be the plan?
I don't. When they get a quarterback that can get them to the place where they can elevate to that?
Which usually, there are exceptions, usually takes a very high draft pick, which they are allergic to even being in consideration for.
Donnie, what would you need to see from Fields to keep a healthy Russell Wilson on the bench next week if he is cleared in 100%?
I'd like to see a little bit better than what he did in Atlanta. I mean, I know we all kind of agreed it was an okay game. It was a solid game. We gave him somewhat similar grades. You guys were more in the B range. I said C plus. I thought he played okay. He had his flashes of brilliance. He had, though, the things that should come more easily to him that, you know, he just can't quite get down. I do think the big factor here, though, at least when it comes to Mike Tomlin's philosophy, if he plays a game like that, he protects the football. He doesn't put it on the ground at all. No bad center quarterback exchanges. He doesn't put the football at risk. We know how highly he regards that, almost more so than scoring touchdowns. If he doesn't turn it over and they can keep the offense on the field enough and they can at least get into field goal range, and for Boswell in a place like Denver, they're going to send him out there for like the 70-yarder like we saw the Raiders almost attempt with Janikowski years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, I think he stays in there. If they can at least move the football enough and put points on the board, it doesn't always have to be touchdowns, even if it should.
So, just to make sure I hear you right, are you saying for both you and Tomlin, you think in Tomlin's mind, Fields has to play better than last week, and the same thing applies to you? Or do you think in Tomlin's mind, if he played the same exact game and they won, he would start against the Chargers next week?
I would like to see some touchdowns.
You would?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's... Well, let me put it this way. If they only kick field goals, I know the Broncos are a young team with a quarterback that was not good last week. If they only kick field goals, I don't think they'll win. It's just that it didn't happen. It last happened in 2008. They're not winning back-to-back games without an offensive touchdown.
I mean, if any team could do it or wants to do it, it's the Steelers. Tomlin, can you imagine how happy that
well
would make him?
It could very well win 9-7. Like, give up a touchdown
Bo
and
Nix
still win.
Against a worse defense, granted, on the road, Bo Nix had an all-time statistically futile performance.
Yep.
The Steelers are better than the Seahawks on defense. They could harass him into oblivion.
I have an old game-used Willie Stargell baseball bat, so it is a large, heavy bat.
Mm-hmm.
If the Steelers win the game and score no touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
I will let one of our listeners take this bat and hit me as hard as they want on my bare ass with this bat. It's not happening. It's just not happening.
The first one of these he's done that I feel like he has a real chance of getting hit on the ass with a baseball bat.
I will let someone take the Willie Stargell bat and just spank me with it as hard as they
want. You really
want.
Don't think they could win this game like 9-7?
No, I just...
Offensive touchdown. Offensive touchdown.
No. Touchdowns altogether. Yeah, it's got...
But we're talking about their quarterback.
I know, but...
If they return a dynamic kickoff for a touchdown or pick six Bo Nix...
No, just... It's got to be a game.
God, I am rooting
touchdowns.
For like a 9-6 win now, Donnie.
Why? You want to see me get hit in the butt?
I just want to see you stop making these predictions. What if they win 7-6 on two
when
safeties
them,
and a field
when
goal?
When I make them, I do it. Crowley has refused when the Pirates missed the playoffs to do his Clemente bridge walk in a bikini bottom, even though he came on the air with me and us and said, I'm in.
He shaved his head to pay off the bet. He doesn't want to put the leopard print Speedo on.
Well, today he brought Doran into the mix. He said, I'll get it when he gets his tattoo.
And I actually said, kind of fair.
But I said, that's your business with Doran. I'm a different bookie here.
Yeah, but the original...
You settle your bet with Doran. That has nothing to do with you settling a bet with me.
The original sin here still belongs to Doran refusing to get a WVU tattoo.
Doran never follows through with his bets, but guess what? He's Doran. He can beat all of us up, so that's why he's able to do that.
We're all adults, and you're really using the beat us up doctrine here?
Do you disagree with me?
I feel like Doran wouldn't just
You don't
be
think
like,
there's an intimidation
you.
Factor with him that...
I thought he and Crowley were friends. Crowley,
they are.
We had our big meeting today, and Crowley
friends.
Talked about how great the show was and how they feel like they're coming into their own.
They are, but you can be friends with someone and also at times be intimidated by them.
I really don't think that those are part and parcel. Those go together. Hey, you're my friend. Oh, I hope you don't beat my ass here if I make you mad.
Wow. I'm surprised to hear you say that. There's not a like former athlete who you have in your circle of friends where you're like, man, I'm friends with this person now, but if I said something he disagreed with or I did something wrong, I would be afraid this person would snap on me and beat the crap out of me?
No.
Okay, I have several people who I look at that way.
I mean, I'm not friends with Joey Porter Sr. He's the only former athlete I can think of who like was ready to kick my ass.
It's time for the Hawk Report. Say 50% on installation of gutter helmet during their fall sale this month only. Call 885-HELMET. Brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. There he is. Jeff Hathorn.
We have hawks in our neighborhood. We have a lot of hawks that we have two hawks or one hawk, Jeff, that sits in a bare dead tree, perches above my yard and some others. There are numerous small dogs. Never knew this. You know who is the ultimate enemy, the mortal enemy of the hawk? The crow. These crows just go after this poor hawk.
And kill the hawk?
No, they can't kill it. They can't kill it, but like I'm talking about little kamikaze runs at it where they try to knock it out of the sky.
Wow. Amanda's worried that the hawk is going to come down and eat our dogs sometimes.
Yes, that's the same thing people... I let Lance out there because I think he's too big for the hawk, but like every time the hawk even circles, there's like 10 crows that come out of nowhere to attack it.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
Yes, in this case, people, not hawks. All right, Jeff, the injury report is out. Russell Wilson limited, but it sounds from what we've gathered so far that he did almost nothing today. Is that true?
Limited is a very good word for it. Yes, limited.
I saw a video, limited. Jeff, that was posted. I think it was Richie, so I'm assuming it was legal for him to post. If not, I'm getting him in trouble right now. Dude, why'd you do that? And it showed Russ doing... like my warm-up if I'm going to go on a jog where I'm doing high knees at like one quarter speed just to get my body slightly loosened up. It did not look like a man who even has the capability of going full.
Well, so what Richie, I think, filmed was just them going through warm-ups. So that was just like team warm-ups of him. I think he was a little bit on the side today, but that's typical for the team to go through that type of stretching exercise or run. Like what he did there wasn't abnormal to what you would see in a regular day.
Any doubt in your mind that it'll be Justin Fields on Sunday?
Not right now. I mean, listen, Russ may not say it. He's supposed to talk tomorrow. He may not say it, but you know that this game means a lot, that him being out there would mean a lot. So I don't want to rule that out because he may push with every fiber of that calf to come out tomorrow and try to be full and show that he can play. It's just, you know, what you hear about those injuries is it's so close to the Achilles that you don't want to push it, because if you push a tight calf, that could lead to an Achilles injury and that could end somebody's season.
Jeff, the other big story today is that Dan Moore, his ankle so bad, he wasn't even limited. He wasn't able to practice. When Tomlin said that on Tuesday, I was stunned because I thought Moore played one of his best games ever against Atlanta, and now he's dinged up. It opens the door for Jones at left tackle and Seumalo at right tackle, does it not?
Fautanu.
Sorry.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, could this be the Chooks moment for Dan Moore?
What do you think?
You know, Chooks, I think it could. I think it could. Listen, Fautanu talked to us today. The look in his face was like, you know, was like a rookie ready for his first game, like a freshman ready for his first game.
Like he knows like there's a good chance he's going to play.
Yes. And the energy, and, you know, he was like, I'm ready for this. I've been taking all these mental reps and being on the sideline and having to watch last week. Like he is geared up to go. Obviously, you know, Moore being hurt could decide that regardless. He goes out there and puts together a game, and Broderick, you know, holds his own. Or even is better at left tackle. Dan Moore maybe, again, might be Chooks where he's out of a job.
Jeff, one other thing that stuck out to me, only because this guy I thought was pretty disruptive caused one of the interceptions from Cousins by pushing right up into his face. Can't have an injury report, apparently, without Larry Ogunjobi showing up on
right?
it with a knee. Tell me, I mean, are we talking, was he limited or was he limited?
Well, with veterans, you know, the limited, I think, is, especially with veteran linemen, I think it's easier to, you know, give some reps off. And at times you might even not even realize that they're limited because, okay, maybe they're just looking at a different combination. But, yeah, to see that happen, and you heard what Tomlin said after or on Tuesday about his impact. You know, Hayward was saying he was an unsung hero, and, man, he was. Like, you noticed him in that game. How many games last year did you not notice him? you noticed Ogunjobi out there Sunday in Atlanta, and hopefully this is just a minor precautionary thing. But yeah, to see that again after he had a clean, almost clean off season is disappointing, because he's dealt with, you know, various things over the last couple of seasons.
Jeff, if Johnston is a 10, if Cam Johnston is a 10 as a punter, and Presley Harvin is a 1, when you watch Corliss Waitman, what is he?
He's a 5. Good leg. Still pretty inexperienced. I mean, this is a guy who was playing soccer in Belgium until he was like 15 and then came to the U.S. So this is all still a little bit new. But I'll say this, he looked a lot more consistent than when he was here in 2021, which would stand to reason. I don't know if this is a full-time rest of the year, but the dude's got a good leg. It's a different approach from that side of the being a lefty. So an improvement, better than Harvin. Obviously, I mean, Johnston, I've never heard Mike Tomlin say things like that about a punter, ever, which tells you what kind of impact he thought he could, as much as a punter could have, that he could have had with this team.
What tells you how tired he was of watching Presley Harvin last year?
Your prediction for Steelers Broncos?
Bo Nix just, I mean, listen, as much as the Steelers are working on some things, so is Denver. I would say the Steelers go up there and squeak out a 16-14 win.
Jeff, Andrew Filippone, 10 minutes ago on Twitter, if the Steelers beat the Broncos without scoring a touchdown, I will let a lucky listener take my game-used Willie Stargell bat and hit me in my robust ass with it as hard as he or she wants. There is no way lightning is striking twice. Your percentage chance that Pony is being hit with a baseball bat in his self-described robust ass.
Man, I don't want to see that happen, Pony. Like, I want that to be a low percentage, but I think there is a...
Come on, the last time it happened before Sunday was
score
the Chiefs playoff game. Thank
You've only got them scoring one, though, Jeff.
And you don't... But you didn't specify offensive, did you?
I did not.
No, he didn't. And I think there's a real chance that they score defensive
or special
teamer. Put
your money where your mouth is and bet them to score defensive or special teams touchdown.
Maybe I will, because I was going to bet that there would be at least one dynamic kick return touchdown, and I forgot to place the bet, and I would have won in week one.
Jeff, thank you for a Hawk Report.
Thanks, boys.
People ask, why is it called the Hawk Report? Because unbeknownst to many, Jeff's nickname here
is the Hawk.
At the radio station was the Hawk for like 30 years.
Has Jeff even been working here 30 years?
I think when you add up KDK AM, just
he might
about,
actually
yeah.
be, yeah.
Did you know that I had a dream last night that the Steelers put me on their practice squad? And it was not because
they wanted a tackling dummy.
Thought I could be a good player. It was because by signing me to the practice squad, I had to stop sending out mean tweets about Tomlin. That's what they told me.
You actually had a dream.
Yeah.
That they put you on a practice squad to neuter your tweets.
Yep.
Have you thought about maybe stepping away from the phone? The keyboard. This reminds me of
in the dream, I'm watching them play a crappy game, and I have my phone, and I'm like, oh crap, I can't say anything.
I mean, that is like real sicko stuff. I remember when I worked at a big box store. I worked at Sam's Club, like in college, mm-hmm. and then like between summers, like my second to last year of college. And I was working so much that I once like woke up thinking I was in a dream, trying to ring items, and I was hitting my hand off the wall.
Yep.
That kind of like scared me straight here. Maybe I got to work a little less. Perhaps you should tweet less.
Donnie, would you describe your own ass as a robust ass?
Oh, very robust. Yeah.
Malzie?
What are the qualifications here? Like, we always hear about like hockey analysts say, well, Sidney Crosby, that's the engine.
Or how about the Jagr ass?
Yeah, like Crosby and Jagr, two just big asses that fueled their games.
How about the Javon Hargrave ass?
Right, Jay Wobble, big ass. But does big automatically mean robust?
So you're answering that no, then?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's a very descriptive, evocative word.
I fully expect Sheldy to be the manager in 2025. And, you know, I think there's a lot of parts of the job I believe he does really, really, really well. And I also believe that he works his tail off to continue to improve in a number of ways. And so seeing that, I believe he's the right person to manage this team in 2025. And so I fully expect that that will happen. As we would in every season, you know, we will get to the end of the season and have an opportunity to look at the entire group and decide if any adjustments are necessary to give ourselves a better chance to do that. This staff works as hard as any in baseball. I know cares as much as any in baseball. Really love working with them. And we all know we need to get better. So we'll get to the end of the season and spend more time on that.
Ben Cherington, before the Pirates went out and swept the Marlins today, on the future of Derek Shelton. He just attached himself at the hip to Shelton with that answer. And now I can't fathom Shelton being let go without Cherington following him out the door. Nothing about that was even like a tepid defense of Shelton where it was a dreaded vote of confidence. It was an all-in support of Derek Shelton, saying there are a lot of parts of the job he does really, really well. I was not there today. If I were there, I would have asked,
which ones?
Ben, please enlighten me. What are the parts of the job that Derek Shelton does well?
You said if he's gone, it means Sherrington's gone too. Chris Mueller, your reaction? Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Good by me.
The second part of that long answer said we'll get together as a staff and we will look at what we need to do and ways to get better. That also smelled to me like we will find some scapegoats. We will find some people who are working underneath me and underneath the manager who we will say, look, we are not totally pleased with the results this year. So this is not a pound of flesh, but here's a few maybe ounces of flesh to just show you that.
Here's a little flesh to tide you over.
Here is some bread.
Oh, bread's
before
good.
The appetizers even get here.
Would you like some
compound
butter?
Wait, there are no appetizers and there is no meal. It's just the bread, which like you said, you would actually be fine with because you love bread. But then you've lost so much weight not eating bread.
Yeah, I can enjoy some bread still now and then. Bread's not off.
When was
the
last time you think you've had like a delicious sandwich? Like just like everything
just
on
just
it.
Two big slices of bread?
Yeah.
I don't know, because most of the sandwiches type things I would have are hoagies.
Oh, so you prefer like a roll to
Yeah. I've had a roll
to
in the
fresh
last,
bread.
I don't know. I've definitely had a good sandwich in the last month or so.
I think the sandwich that we get every Wednesday here from Slice on Broadway in Carnegie's a hell of an Italian
sandwich. Yeah, I had a part of that.
What do you think's on that, Don? You've got salami.
Well, they got three different ones that they throw. There's a few different kinds. I had the one with the lettuce and red onion today, a little salami. Looked like a little capicola maybe on there or something.
The one I had
peppers
like,
on
yeah,
one of
that's
them.
The one I had. There was some banana peppers on there.
Is there maybe, would mortadella be on there?
Yep.
I think
so.
There's a little mortadella.
Donnie, do you know what mortadella is?
Nope.
Really?
It's a cured meat. I would think you would know what that is. You're a food guy.
You love meats.
Oh, yeah. All about the meats.
Mortadella is like a bologna with...
It's bologna with like a good publicist.
And there's like those little white circles in there.
I think it's a bologna.
So is it like gabagool?
No, capicola.
I think the best way to put it is it's fancy bologna.
Yeah, it's bologna with a glow up.
It's a bow tie bologna.
I'll tell you what is a sandwich I missed. There was a place we used to do shows before hockey games that had a club or a BLT or whatever
it
was.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, definitely.
That was
the biggest BLT I've ever eaten in my
life. And they had a
life.
Mayo in that thing, a rosemary mayo.
And the fries.
Oh.
Mouth-watering. Derek Shelton reacting to Ben Cherington's support.
It's very important to me, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I think I'll be the first one to tell you that, like, there's still things I need to be better at, and we need to be better at, and we need to continue to improve. But the fact that, you know, Ben said that is very important to me. But I think the most important thing for us is we need to continue to focus on winning games and getting better to get to where we want to be, because we're not where we want to be. I mean, we just came off a sweep, and we're playing better baseball, and we played better baseball during the Washington series. But ultimately, you know, I realize I have to get better, and I realize we have to get better.
I think this part of this, too, is how much does Ben Cherington have the trust of the owner. Because if Ben really is still a Shelton believer, and it's going to cost the owner money to move on from Shelton early and mm-hmm. then hire another manager. So, like, he's got to have a really good reason to do it.
Yep.
If the GM, who he believes in, is like, no,
this guy's good,
we still need to give this guy time, does the owner say, well, it's my team, not yours. I'm your boss. I'm going to get rid of him. The hell with what you say.
If you're going to say that much, though, you might as well fire the GM, too.
That's what I mean. I think now at this point, and I wouldn't have said this before today, it just feels to me like it's both or none.
What do you think's more likely?
I think none would be more likely.
Me, too. So I guess this would count as a surprise to both of us today, correct?
Yeah. And that is a little bit off-putting, because I do think that the way they're going to not excuse this season, but they are going to find a silver lining, like, hey, we wanted 82 wins, but we got 77, and that's one more than last year, and we have Skeens, and Cruz got through the season healthy, and our bullpen won't suck as bad next year, because bullpens tend to be kind of random and volatile.
Hold on.
That's what they'll say. That's what the analytics people say.
No. But you just brought up bullpen, and I just had one of those twitching moments. Andrew Destin posted this today. The tweet says, asked Ben Cherington why the Pirates bullpen, which ranks 27th in baseball and team ERA, has struggled so much this season. I'm going to read this entire quote, and I would like one or both of you to react.
Is it going to cause people to turn the channel because it's a get glazed over?
No, I'll read it. I'll read it with a lot of oomph.
Is it a long quote?
I'll read it quickly. Just would you let me read it? We're already filibustering. Ben Cherington's answer to a question about why his bullpen has struggled so much. Quote, yeah, I think that's certainly an area that we need to see improvement from. Part of the improvement that we need to find and get to faster is more consistent performance from that group. Look, we came into the season. I know I said it. I believe that could be a strength, and it just hasn't been to the level that we thought it could be. Got to figure that out. Got to be willing to examine everything that's going into that. Believe that there's talent there. We believe there's talent in the pen right now, talent that could make up a really good pen, but we haven't performed at the level we need to, so we have to figure that out, end quote. You were asked why it has struggled so much. Your answer was, yeah, we've struggled. Got to figure it out. I'm sorry. I know that's how Ben answers questions. That drives me insane. I don't expect the guy to go into all of whatever their proprietary metrics are, but I could ask a guy on the street, hey, what do you think has caused the Pirates bullpen to struggle? And he's like, I don't know, but guys got to pitch better. That's what he said there.
Yeah.
That's not an answer.
No, it's not.
And I think fans deserve something more than, well, we've got guys we think are good. They just got to be better. Oh, wow.